In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He lifted up the loaves to heaven and prayed, and then he gave the loaves to his disciples, and they divided the loaves amongst 5,000. We're all familiar with this miracle of the loaves and the fishes. There is something here that we almost certainly have missed. What is the miracle? The miracle is that Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God, who came into the world in order to heal the brokenness of our humanity, fed the multitude as one. That's the miracle. Because we're created by God as human being, one being. We all share our humanity amongst all of the others. It does not belong to any of us individually. But we have come to believe in this secular America of the 21st century that is exactly the case. It is a matter of my humanity against that of others. We are divided since the fall. And by the time you reach 21st century America, because I think really that in the 1700s, even amongst those secular humanists who were in the majority, the vast majority, in Philadelphia, at the Constitutional Convention, even they had a greater sense of the common humanity than we have today. Even in ancient Rome, in Republican Rome at least, there was a greater sense of our common humanity than we have today. Cicero says that there is nothing anywhere that is more similar to a human being than another human being. Human beings are by nature one thing. Our contemporary secular idea, which has infected every church, including our own, does no longer believe that. We as secular Americans believe that my humanity belongs to me. I am the ultimate unit of humanity, and others are my competitors. Other churches are the competitors of our church. If we go out into the world and try to witness to others with that in our minds, we will simply show that we have a heretical understanding of the nature of our own humanity. We will be preaching ourselves. And at least in our own mind, our orthodoxy will be that of some kind of 21st century American secularized denomination that has been made to fit within this spiritually triumphant individualism of the 21st century, so radical that we no longer can even govern ourselves individually or together. At the Last Supper, Jesus took the cup and the loaves, and he said to the apostles, "Divide this among you." He treated them as one. We come to him as individual human beings that need to be united into the oneness of his humanity. We don't become God except through our humanity, except through the humanity of Christ. Because in the humanity of Christ, we can be one, as God created us to be. One kind of being. The human being that God created. At one with him and at one with one another. When we are divided and we understand ourselves as individuals, we are understanding ourselves in a way that is the result of the fall. Archimandrite Simeon of Panorama said that to think of human beings as simply individuals is a corrupt way of understanding what it means to be a human being. We were not created to be separated from one another. We were created to love one another as members of the body of Christ. That's how God brought us back into a oneness that we share with one another. I am a human person. You are all human persons. All of us are human persons amongst all of the 107 billion human persons that God has created. 7 billion of us are living today. The other 100 billion have died, and some of them have fallen asleep in Christ. But none of us is a human being in isolation as an individual being. Father Simeon explains it like this, in a way that will leave us with some questions. God is three persons in one being, one divine being. Human beings, at this point, are 107 billion persons in one being. Now, why does that sound so odd to us? One being. It sounds odd to us because we are used to thinking of one human being as an individual. So do you mean to say that we are all somehow collectively part of one mass being? No, that's not what it means. We can hardly keep from thinking of movements like the fascist movement of the 1930s, where all of the individuals were collected together and bound together with one leader, and they referred to themselves collectively. No, that's not what it means. That has to do with the nature of the created world, the brokenness, not just of the world, but of ourselves. That would be a mockery of the ultimate truth. We can't become one by gathering together, whether in agreement or as a result of force. We can't be one as God created the oneness of our humanity, like his oneness, but a created oneness by that kind of worldly means. Although we try to, we long to be united with others. We long to unite others to us. We are trying to heal the brokenness whenever we do that, but we can't accomplish it by worldly means. Christ has already restored that oneness that was given to us, a oneness that frees the person to be all that that person was created to be. Instead of wasting their energy and the time of their life trying to establish themselves as isolated individuals against all of the others. Churches have formed in the West and now possibly even in America amongst Orthodox who don't understand by people gathering together, agreeing to a common doctrine, and then going out and teaching it as the truth. But the truth is Christ. The truth is God incarnate. The truth is all of us at one with one another and at one with him. Father Simeon says that God came into the world, Christ ascended the cross to die, but not to die alone. He did not come into the world to die alone. All of us are called to die along with him in order that we might arise at one with him and one with all of the rest of humanity. St. Paul says that the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. The cross is foolishness to individualists. But to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. One Christian is no Christian. One Christian attempting to witness to the faith in isolation from all of the others, trusting to his own understanding of things, is no Christian. Relying on his or her own partial understanding of things, which is inescapably based on the reality of that person's spiritual life. Because we cannot witness to others as to the fullness of orthodoxy by giving them our partial understanding of doctrine and teaching. We can only witness to them by being the presence of someone who has died to himself as a self-serving and prideful and vain individual, and instead being the presence of someone for whom humility is their way of being in the presence of any of the other human beings, persons that God has created. We are all created equal is something that we can affirm as Orthodox. We have no reason, no justification for triumphalism in the presence of those who are not Orthodox. And if we find ourselves acting in such a way, then we can be certain that we do not share the mind of Christ, because the mind of Christ is not like that. St. Paul cautions us against divisions. He cautions us against thinking as individualists. The only right way to think of division is that we were divided and that Christ brings us together into one. That is the reality of the movement of our spiritual life, to gather others into a oneness that we already share as created human beings, but that Christ has fulfilled and offers to us at the cost of our dying to ourselves, dying to our individualistic arrogance and our temptation to swagger out among others, even on the basis of our own being Orthodox Christians. It's inappropriate. It's no witness. It alienates anyone who might come to Christ and seek to be one with us and one with him. These are difficult things for us to understand as 21st century Americans, infected as we all are by spiritual individualism. But we need to remember that Christ calls us to die along with him on the cross when it comes exactly to that pride, that vanity, that conviction that I stand in the world in isolation as myself and speak my words to others who are separate and different from me. That is always a delusion. And so we hear St. Paul's words cautioning us, praying in the name of Jesus Christ, he says, that there be no divisions amongst us, and that we all speak with one mind and one judgment. And so when we see ourselves beginning to speak according to the wisdom of the world and the divisions of the world, we must convict ourselves and reject that division that has entered our heart between ourselves and our brothers. We are all one in the humanity that Jesus Christ, God, has saved. We need to maintain respect of all others and humility in their presence. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen.